No, I'm not a ballot. Session 3.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunj Bihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunj Bihari.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare.
जगन्नाथ बलदेव सुभद्रा देवी की जय। पिताय गौरमान और गौरी स्त्री और गौरी स्त्री और गौरी सौ गौरी सौ गौरी स्त्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरांग। ओम ज्ञान तिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्वितम्। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरुः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहकलरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीव साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादां सहकलललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। नम ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठायभूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामी। नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणी वांछा कल्प तरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा हरे रामा राम रामा हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा
हरे कृष्णा।
In our discussions on Lord Krishna's role in the Mahabharata, yesterday we were discussing that the first time Krishna actually met or even saw the Pandavas was at the Swayamvara ceremony of Draupadi. But before that, it is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, at least on two occasions, that Krishna was indeed aware of what was happening with the Pandavas. He was keeping himself well informed of their well-being or otherwise. And in the first instance, soon after coming to Mathura and killing Kamsa, he sent Akrura to see how the Pandavas were doing and to give a message to King Dhritarashtra on his behalf that he should look after the Pandavas well and he should not be partial towards his own sons. He should treat the Pandavas and Kauravas equally and no injustice should be meted out to the Pandavas. Akrura faithfully conveyed the message to Dhritarashtra, but of no avail. Vidura, and in particular Kunti, the mother of the Pandavas, revealed the agony of their hearts about how the young Kaurava princess was so envious of the Pandavas and they bore so much hatred in their hearts towards them that they had hatched so many plots, even to kill them. So Kunti Maharani was full of grief. And she revealed her mind to Akrura, who then tried to pacify her as best as he could. And Krishna's message was that if our brothers are being discriminated against like this, we might have to make some arrangements in future to help them. So that was the first indication that he gave, that he would be there to support the Pandavas. The second time was when Krishna had already moved to Dwarka and the Pandavas were rumored to have been killed in a fire that broke out in the house of Lakh that had been specially built by Duryodhana. With this idea in mind, that the Pandavas would be holidaying there and the place would be set on fire, and because Lakh is an inflammable material, so the house would get burned down with the Pandavas within it, and that would be the end of Duryodhana's problems. The Pandavas were thorns in the flesh of Duryodhana, as Duryodhana saw it. And when this rumor reached the ears of Krishna, even though he fully well knew what the truth was, he went ahead anyway to Hastinapur along with Balaram and shared in the sorrow of Bhishma, Drona, Vidura and so on. Vidura was the one who knew the truth actually, but the others too. It was only much later, around when Krishna was the age of 20 or so, that the Swayamvara ceremony of Draupadi took place, and we narrated that in a fair amount of detail yesterday. And the conclusion was that Arjuna won the hand of Draupadi in a fair contest. He had no competitor. And Krishna and Balaram secretly followed the Pandavas to where they were staying at a potter's house. Krishna revealed himself, introduced himself. This was the first time they actually met, as far as the Mahabharata is concerned. And the Pandavas were overjoyed to see Krishna and Balaram. And Yudhishthira asked, "Oh Krishna, how is it that you recognize us?" And Krishna replied, "Even when fire is within a vessel, its influence is felt everywhere. So like a hidden fire you were blazing, how could I not recognize you? And when I saw Bhima lifting the sal tree, I knew this is Bhima's style. This is the way he operates. So it was very easy to understand this was Bhima. And in the way Arjuna fought with Karna, there was no one else who could have fought like that. So it was easy for us to recognize all of you. Please note that since birth, they had never met. The Pandavas and Krishna, they had only heard of each other. Even though they were cousins, they had never met. Because both, Krishna on one hand, and the Pandavas on the other, had their own share of tribulations. Krishna, you know the troubles that his parents Devaki and Vasudeva had to undergo in the prison of Kamsa. We also know that even after Krishna was transferred to Vrindavan, to Gokul, and then to Vrindavan, how much trouble the Vrajabasis had to undergo, because Kamsa was sending demons or asuras every day practically. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions that Krishna would hardly eat lunch on any day without having killed an asura or two, or maybe more. It was something like an appetizer almost for him. So every day was a day of danger. So one can only imagine what the Vrajabasis were living through. And on the other side, the Pandavas were also under severe test. They were living in the forest with their father and their mothers, and the father died. And then they came to Dhritarashtra's shelter in Hastinapur, but Hastinapur wasn't much better than the forest. In fact, here there was danger to their lives from their envious cousins. So both the Pandavas on one hand and Krishna on the other hand had their fair share, unfair share of tribulations. But they kept track of each other. And this was the first time they met in the potter's house. And both were overjoyed. And then Krishna said, "But now I must leave you. And you must continue to blaze within the vessel. Let not the fire be exposed." In other words, what Krishna was trying to say was, still let your disguise remain. Don't reveal yourselves for who you really are. And then Krishna and Balaram departed with the promise that they were always there to support the Pandavas. Meanwhile, Dhrishtadyumna had come, and he saw Krishna and Balaram walking out of that house, and he was surprised. What are the Yadu chieftains doing here? These are just simple Brahmanas who came and won the hand of my sister in marriage. And why have Krishna and Balaram, the two mighty chieftains of Dwarka, come here to meet with these Brahmanas? And soon it was revealed. Because as Dhrishtadyumna was standing at the window, looking inside at what was going on, he was astonished. Draupadi was first of all explaining, or I beg your pardon, Kunti Maharani was explaining to Draupadi about how she should deal with her husbands. And how, by the arrangement of Providence, it was arranged that she would have five husbands. We discussed a little bit of that yesterday. But I said that I would talk today about how it is that Draupadi was destined to have five husbands in this life. Well, it so happened, according to the Puranas, that in another previous life, she was the daughter of a sage. The sage, somehow or other, neglected his fatherly duty of getting his daughter married, and he passed away before he could fulfill that objective. So his daughter was left all alone to fend for herself. And it's a long story, I won't tell the whole story. It actually has connection with the Purushottam Adhik Mass. But the next time Purushottam Adhik Mass comes, you can hear the full story. But anyway, so she prayed to Lord Shiva, because generally unmarried girls pray to Lord Shiva for a good husband. And unmarried men pray to Durga for a good wife. So she was praying to Lord Shiva. And time was going on, and she was going on in age. And her father had made no arrangement, so she was really anxious, and then her father passed away. So she was fervently praying to Lord Shiva and performing many austerities to attract his pleasure and attention. Eventually Lord Shiva appeared before her, and she was so overwhelmed when Lord Shiva appeared, and she was so eager and impatient to ask her boon that she said, "I want a husband," and she said this 5 times in her eagerness and impatience. And Shiva said, oh, you've asked for it 5 times, so you will have 5 husbands in this life. So she was horrified. She said, "How is that possible? How can I have 5 husbands? It's not possible. Please, oh dear sage, have mercy upon me. Change this somehow or the other." He said, "What has come out of my lips," Lord Shiva said, "cannot be changed, but I can at best postpone it. I can postpone it to the next life." So she said, "Fine, at least we'll see the next life at that time, but at least for now." So that eventually the boon materialized in the next life when she became Draupadi. So while Draupadi was being instructed by Kunti about how to deal with the Pandavas, and she said that whenever the food comes into the house, because they were acting as brahmanas, so they would go out and beg alms, ALMS, not ARMS. They would go out and beg alms and come back as a brahmana is supposed to do. So Kunti's instruction to Draupadi was, first, when the food comes in, or even if the food is cooked, distribute some to the mendicants who may come to visit us, to the brahmanas. And as far as the rest of the food is concerned, make 2 portions. 1 half for Bhima, the other half for all of us, the rest of us. That is the 4 remaining brothers and 2 of us. That was how much Bhima ate. And so that she did. And Dhrishtadyumna was hearing all these things, and he was hearing the Pandavas talking among themselves about the battle that took place and the different types of weapons and warfare and strategies and so on. And he was thinking, this is really unusual for brahmanas to talk about. The brahmanas would usually talk about some rituals, or they would talk about some philosophy from the scripture or something like that. And here they are talking about warfare as if they're experienced Kshatriyas. So doubt arose in his heart, but he wasn't sure. In any case, then he came in, he introduced himself, and then the truth was eventually revealed. And Drupad Maharaj was also very, very happy at this news. Now this grand political alliance had been established. Now the Pandavas had a very powerful ally in King Drupad. As I mentioned yesterday, marriages between royal families often happened to strike political alliances between the kingdoms. So now that Draupadi's hand had been won, she lived with them. Drupad Maharaj was very happy, and then they revealed their true identities, and eventually they went back to Hastinapur. So then Indraprastha was there and they lived in Indraprastha and so on, and time went on. And then the Mahabharata reveals another instance when Krishna participated in these pastimes with the Pandavas. It so happened that the five brothers arrived at an agreement with each other. And the agreement was that each brother would spend 1 year with Draupadi exclusively, starting from the eldest to the youngest. So Yudhishthir would spend the first year with Draupadi and the others would not. And then the second year would be with Bhima and then Arjuna, like that. So all the five. And at the time when one brother was spending the entire year with Draupadi, the others would not enter the room at any time. And if they entered the room at any time, when Draupadi was together with the other brother, then this person would have to leave home, and there was a punishment, there was a voluntarily accepted austerity, they would leave home for a year and go away. So it so happened one time when Yudhishthir was with Draupadi, it was his turn, and a brahmana came very grief-stricken to Arjuna, saying that my cows have been stolen, there's a great danger to my cows. And hearing his tale of woe, Arjuna as a kshatriya was duty-bound to go and protect the brahmana and his cows. But by the arrangement of providence, his weapons were in the same room where Yudhishthir Maharaj and Draupadi were. Now he was really caught in a bind what to do. On one hand, it was against dharma to go in, he would be breaking his vow. All the five brothers had taken a vow. And on the other hand, here was his duty to protect a brahmana and to protect the cows. So what should be done now? So he deliberated upon this and finally resolved that he should go in and fetch his arms from inside and then go and protect the brahmana and his cows. And he did the needful. He came back and then he announced to his brothers that I have broken our agreement and now I must go into the forest for 1 year. Yudhishthir was horrified. He said, but Arjuna, you went there for a purpose, for a higher purpose. It was your duty to defend this brahmana and the cows. You didn't do anything wrong. And in any case, when the elder brother goes into the younger brother's room when he is with Draupadi, that is the time that this punishment would hold. So you're okay, you stay back here, because Yudhishthir couldn't tolerate the thought of Arjuna being away for a year. But Arjuna was steadfast in his determination. He said, no, I have to stick to the principle of truth and dharma, and I must go. So now the question arises, why would Arjuna leave his weapons in the room where Yudhishthir was? Why would he do that? It doesn't make sense, does it? There would have been so many rooms to have leave his weapons. Why did he leave his weapons right in that room so that this whole situation would come about? So there are many possible explanations, but we can understand that this was the arrangement of providence, or the arrangement of Krishna, so that another alliance would take place to fulfill Krishna's grand plan that he had for his joint cooperative efforts with Arjuna and the other Pandavas. So Arjuna went on the pilgrimage. He traveled to so many forests and holy places. He went to the place called Manipur in Nagaland and Manipur in northeastern part of India. And there he married Ulupi, the princess. And he had a son. Anyone remembers the name? No, Iravan. Iravan was the name. And then he went to the state that is presently Assam or Kamarup, and there he married Chitrangada. And he had a son whose name was Babruvahana. So both Iravan and Babruvahana were also valiant princes, very brave, very accomplished. And Arjuna moved on, and he traveled to the holy places, and eventually came to Prabhas Kshetra and Dwarka. And it was here that he met Krishna again. Now Arjuna had heard from another cousin about the beauty of Subhadra. So Arjuna had aroused in his heart some interest to wed Subhadra, who was a sister of Krishna. And when he entered he was on the outskirts of Dwarka, and he sent a message to Krishna that he had arrived. Krishna was very happy to hear the news. He came outside the city, warmly welcomed Arjuna, they embraced, and they sat down to have a discussion. And at that time, when Arjuna expressed his interest, Krishna was pleased, because he was also thinking like this. He was thinking that Arjuna would be a very fitting groom or a husband for his dear sister Subhadra. And then he said, but Arjuna, there is a problem. The problem is that my dear elder brother wants to marry Subhadra to Duryodhana. And that would be political disaster. And it would also be disaster for my dear sister to have to get married to Duryodhana. Actually, the fact of the matter was that nobody wanted Subhadra to get married to Duryodhana, except Balaram. But Balaram was the lord of Dwarka. He was the elder brother of Krishna. So Krishna did not want to directly go and confront Balaram. So Krishna was very diplomatic when it came to various things. So he said, okay, Arjuna, what you should do is, you wear the guise of a mendicant, of a holy man, and you come into Dwarka, don't come in as Arjuna. You still have 4 months left. You've been traveling 8 months to the holy places, and you have 4 months left before you can return. So in these 4 months, let's try to work out something. So you come in as a holy person. Balaram likes to invite saintly people to his home and to feed them prasad. And he usually engages our dear sister Subhadra to serve the saints so that she can get some auspiciousness, so that in future she will find a good husband. So surely that you will be able to come in contact with Subhadra. So Arjuna did that, and he came in dressed as a sannyasi with a beard and saffron cloth, long hair and everything. And Balaram came to know that a saintly person had arrived. This was a rather strange saintly person, because he was really well built and he was like a kshatriya. But anyway, he was a saintly person. So Balaram heard about him, that he had come to Dwarka, and he invited him to the house, to his palace. And as expected, as Krishna had predicted, he made Subhadra offer him some prasad, some nice service for him. And that was the time when Subhadra also became attracted to Arjuna. And Arjuna was already inclined. But out of deference, because he was a saintly person, she did not express anything. When there were repeated events like this, time to time, over the next few months, Balaram invited him on a couple of occasions. So Subhadra's attachment for Arjuna, whom she did not recognize, increased. And one day, Subhadra revealed her heart to Krishna. And Krishna says, yes, that's all right, but what about Duryodhan? Because our dear elder brother wants you to marry him. And she made a face, and she said, no, that is not to be. So having understood her mind, and having confirmed that she didn't want to marry Duryodhan, and that she would be happy to marry this person, who was Arjuna, whom she did not recognize, then Krishna said, he is actually Arjuna. And then Subhadra was very happy to hear this. But they were thinking, what to do now? How do we get married? And Krishna was also thinking, yeah, I'm also thinking about that. How should be? He discussed the matter with Vasudeva and Devaki and the other elders, and they were all in favor of Arjuna marrying Subhadra. Only Balaram was firm that Subhadra should marry Duryodhana. So then Krishna was deliberating on this matter, now how to solve this problem. Then he advised, he called Arjuna and said, look, there's only one way we can do it. Very soon, all the Yadu princes are going to the Raivataka place, the hill, for some nice social get-together. It's a weekend, Saturday, Sunday. And so all the princes will be going there. So when they're engaged in all kinds of revelry, what you should do is mount your chariot and come there and forcefully abduct Subhadra from the midst of all the princes, the Yadu princes. So there were 8 kinds of marriages in the Vedic culture. And this is one kind of marriage. We won't go into the details of the different kinds of marriages, but this was one where the bridegroom would come and sweep the princess in front of the very eyes of other competitors or suitors or the family members, and then they would chase him and there would be a good fight and everything. So anyway, Krishna recommended, this is the proper way for the Kshatriya to do it, so you should do the same. So Arjuna said, fine. So on the appointed day and the appointed place, Arjuna emerged from nowhere on his horse, in his chariot, and he, of course, Subhadra was waiting for this occasion, and Arjuna then swooped her off and took her in the chariot and sped away. And the other Yadu princes, including Balaram, noticed this and they were infuriated. There was a tumultuous cry, an uproar. How dare this Arjuna do this? It's an insult to the Yadus. And everyone was saying, yes, yes, and where is my sword? Where are my arms? Where is my shield? And everyone was looking for their arms. News spread like wildfire. And in Dwarka, the messengers went around the city. Call to war, call to war, everyone, all arms, everyone get their arms ready. Because now they wanted to attack the Kurus. How dare they kidnap the sister Subhadra like this? And at that time, Krishna was just quietly sitting there smiling. And Balaram was also infuriated and he was speaking really angrily. And finally he calmed everybody down. He said, keep quiet. Let us first hear what Krishna has to say. And then Krishna spoke. And he said, actually, Arjuna and Subhadra are very well suited for each other. It's the best thing because Subhadra also wants that. It will be a very good match for our two dynasties. In this way, the Yadu dynasty and the Pandus, the Kurus, will be matched. And in any case, they have already left. And if you bring her back, now that Arjuna has touched her, no other man is going to marry her. So what will happen? And in any case, if all the warriors from the Yadu dynasty go and fight with Arjuna, and Arjuna will emerge victorious, it will be such a humiliation for the Yadus. You go there, lose and come back, it will be worse. So better it is, in my opinion, that you invite Arjuna and Subhadra here and get them officially married. And that is the way to do things. And as you know, Krishna speaks so sweetly and so convincingly. That was his characteristic right from childhood, even when he persuaded his father and the other Brajavasis to worship Govardhan rather than Indra. So Balaram and all the other Yadus were convinced. Yes, yes, that's right. So okay, we'll do that. And then the marriage ceremony of Subhadra and Arjuna was celebrated. So this was all Krishna's plan. Now why did Krishna do this? Because he wanted this alliance set up. Because Krishna had his long-term plans. He had his mission statement already laid out. And He wanted to see that even in worldly terms, he would have his alliances in place. So he was working out his grand strategy for the final climax, where all the Kshatriyas of the world would gather together on the one central stage of Kurukshetra, and there would be a great battle. And as a result of this battle, the burden of sinful Kshatriyas would actually diminish, the burden of the earth would diminish. And after all, this was one of the important purposes for which Krishna had advented himself. So Krishna was over the years making these plans. So not just was he the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but here he was playing the role of a Kshatriya, of a tactician, of a strategist, of a master strategist. And he was planning out how to ensure the victory of Dharma over Adharma. He was making his grand plans and meticulously putting this plan into effect. In the same way, as followers of Krishna, we also are up against a very formidable enemy in the form of Maya. And we also have to make so many strategies and so many plans to actually be able to push this mission forward. But for that, we need Krishna with us. We need Krishna's potency, we need Krishna's empowerment and mercy. So if we all chant Hare Krishna nicely and follow the program Srila Prabhupada has given us, then we will also acquire the spiritual strength that is necessary to spread this message of divine love everywhere, so that the illusion and ignorance of Maya can be conquered. So anyway, Krishna had been planning, and one of the important cornerstones of his strategy was to now develop his friendship with Arjuna, because Arjuna would be one of his major weapons. Krishna would use Arjuna to fulfill his purpose. And as we know from the battle of Kurukshetra, he declared to Arjuna that, Arjuna, you are hesitating to fight, but know for certain that I have already killed them. They are already dead. All you need to do is become my instrument. Fight on my behalf and the glory shall be yours. Nimitta matra bhava sabhyasachin. O Sabhyasachi, one who is expert in shooting arrows, just become my instrument and fight. So Krishna was the ultimate doer. He was the one who actually caused the destruction of all the burden from the earth. But the credit went to Arjuna, because Arjuna became a humble, surrendered instrument in the hands of Krishna. So we can see that Krishna had a long-term plan to cultivate friendship with Arjuna and then use Arjuna as his chief instrument in accomplishing his goals. Not just for destroying the miscreants. Vinashaya cha duskritam. Not just that, but also for the sake of dharma sansthapanarthaya, for the sake of establishing dharma, he wanted to use Arjuna. And therefore he chose Arjuna to speak the Bhagavad Gita to. He did not speak the Bhagavad Gita to a sannyasi or to a hermit in the Himalayas. Rather, he spoke the Bhagavad Gita to a householder, a warrior, and that too on the battlefield. So all this can be seen as part of Krishna's plan and his arrangement. And therefore he arranged that Arjuna's weapons would be in such a place where this thing would work out, and he would have to go on a year-long pilgrimage. And when he went out, then he would have an alliance with the kings of the northeast as well. And in this way, Krishna was building the base to having a strong emperor in Yudhishthira Maharaj, and with Bhima and Arjuna as his right and left hands, arms. So we see Krishna's strategies working from this early stage. And having facilitated that, then Krishna was now satisfied. that his sister Subhadra was finally married to Arjuna. And as you know, they bore a son whose name was Abhimanyu. And Abhimanyu was killed in the battle of Kurukshetra when he was only 16 years old. And that is, of course, another story in itself, a grand story. So the plot unfolds. Krishna's further involvement in the story of the Mahabharata goes on. And if you want to know what happened next, then you might want to come tomorrow evening at 7:30 again for a continuation of Krishna's role in the Mahabharata. And for now, we will be relishing Krishna's role on the altar as we worship him, and also in the form of his holy name as we chant Kirtan. I think it's 7 o'clock is the Arati time, isn't it? Okay, we have time for just one question. We have 1 minute left. Anyone wants to ask a question? Yesterday some devotees mentioned they wanted to ask questions. You had a question, right? Yeah, maybe a quick question. Ask one of your shorter questions.
Now here you are saying that Balaram and Krishna, they already seen Pandavas, and they recognize that they are Pandavas at the time of Draupadi's Swayambar. But how come Lord Balaram gets recognized when he came as a Pandava?
Okay, the question is that Krishna and Balaram recognize the Pandavas as the Swayambara of Draupadi, and how come Balaram didn't recognize Arjuna when he came as a mendicant? Because his disguise must have been really good. And also, of course, it's part of Krishna's pastimes. So if Balaram had recognized Arjuna, what would be the fun? And all these pastimes wouldn't have taken place. Right? One time I remember our devotees were doing the drama, and one lady was playing the role of Sita and her husband was playing the role of Ram, and there was a heavy emotional scene going on the stage, and a dialogue going on, and then that couple's little boy was in the audience and he saw his mother and shouted his mother's name loudly because he could see through. You see the disguise. She was dressed as Sita, but then he understood. He shouted, "Mommy!" loudly. So gone was all the mood of Sita and Ram. So when you're in a drama, then all the fun is lost if you're recognized, no? You're playing that role. So Arjuna is playing the role of a sannyasi for fulfilling Krishna's desires that eventually he should marry Subhadra, and the Yadu should be linked up with the Pandavas for Krishna's further plans, right? Okay, so now is the time for the Arati, and we will meet tomorrow at 7:30. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Sarvam
Pati Sri Maharaj
Ki.
Jai.